Today, we're looking at how to budget without drowning when rent eats up 40% of your income.
Which is honestly the reality for so many of us right now. You pay rent, and suddenly your checking account is looking pretty grim.
Exactly. For decades, financial experts said to keep housing under 30% of your income. But the math has completely changed.
If you live in any major city, that 30% rule just sounds like a bad joke.
It really is. The data shows almost 50% of renter households spend over 30% of their income on housing.
So if you're paying 40%, you're definitely not alone, but it still feels like you're just bad with money, you know?
That's the trap. It's a structural problem driven by low housing supply and high construction costs. It's not your financial habits.
That actually makes me feel a little better. But wait, what if you have a good job? Shouldn't full-time work cover affordable housing?
You'd think so. But 36% of fully employed renters are officially classified as cost burdened right now.
Wow. Okay, so if we accept that rent is just going to take up 40%, what do we do?
You have to adapt the traditional 50-30-20 budgeting rule. Normally, 50% is for needs, 30 for wants, and 20 for savings.
Right, but if rent takes 40%, that leaves only 10% for groceries, utilities, and insurance. That's literally impossible.
Exactly. So your needs category naturally has to expand. You might have to shrink your wants category down significantly to make the math work.
I guess that means less dining out and fewer trips. But what about that 20% for savings? Can I just cut that instead?
It's tempting, but you should really fight to protect your savings and debt repayment. That safety net is what keeps you out of trouble.
I hear you, but if my budget is already squeezed, saving money feels like a luxury I just don't have.
I get that, but skipping savings leaves you incredibly vulnerable. You need to prioritize at least a $500 emergency fund.
$500 sounds doable. It's not a massive mountain to climb, but it could cover a blown tire or a surprise medical bill.
That's the goal. And if your employer offers a 401k match, you absolutely have to capture that money. It's 100% return.
Leaving free money on the table because rent is high just hurts your future self. So we prioritize the emergency fund and the mat.
Then you build the rest of your budget around what's left. Reducing transportation and fixed costs is the fastest way to find wiggle room.
Okay, give me an example. Because if my rent is fixed, how do I actually create more breathing room in the budget?
Look at your location. Paying 40% of your income to live in a walkable city might actually save you money overall.
Oh, I see what you mean. In the suburbs, you have cheaper rent, but you still have to buy a car, gas, and insurance.
Exactly. Ditching a car payment and auto insurance can easily free up hundreds of dollars a month. The 30% rule ignores transportation costs completely.
That makes a lot of sense. What if you already live in the suburbs and need your car? How do you cut costs then?
You have to audit your recurring expenses. Shop around for better cell phone plans and car insurance rates. You can often get the same coverage for less.
I definitely need to do that. But let's talk about the rent itself. Is there any way to actually lower my housing costs right now?
The two best tactics are negotiating your lease and sharing space. You don't always have to accept the sticker price on an apartment.
Really? I always thought rent prices were set in stone. Landlords don't seem like the type to just give you a discount.
Landlords hate vacancies. An empty apartment costs them money every single day. If you research local rates, you have a strong bargaining chip.
So if the building next door is cheaper, I can use that to negotiate? What if they still say no to lowering the rent?
You can ask them to waive application fees or cover move-in costs. Or you can offer to sign a longer lease for a lower monthly rate.
That's smart. And I guess the other option is getting a roommate. Though sharing a kitchen isn't always my favorite idea.
It's a trade-off. But taking on a roommate in a major market can save an average of 13% of your income.
13% is huge. That could easily be the difference between living paycheck to paycheck and actually building up some solid savings.
Definitely. And before we wrap up, we need to talk about the pressure to buy a house. People always say renting is throwing money away.
Oh my gosh, yes. Every time I complain about rent, someone tells me to just buy a house, like I have a down payment hiding in my couch cushions.
It's completely outdated advice. The typical U.S. household now needs to spend 43% of its income to buy a median-priced home.
And that's just the mortgage, right? What about all the hidden costs that come with actually owning the place?
Exactly. Property taxes, insurance, and emergency repairs can add 25 to 50% to your base housing cost.
When my furnace breaks right now, I just call the landlord. If I owned the house, I'd be on the hook for thousands of dollars.
Renting pays for flexibility and a predictable maximum housing cost, Don't let anyone pressure you into buying before you're financially ready.
So true. Buying a house when you're broke just trades one kind of financial stress for a much more expensive one.
Exactly. So here's your one next step. Find just one recurring, flexible expense you can reduce today and route that money into your emergency fund.
Even if it's just a small subscription, cancel it and start building that safety net.
You can find more guides on how to do this at geldzak.com. Your money, your terms.